Now more than ever. Lowe's knows you don't just want a low price, you want the lowest price. And with our lowest price guarantee, you can count on us for competitive prices on all your home improvement projects. If you find a qualifying lower price somewhere else on the same item, we'll match it. Lowe's, we help, you save. Price match applies to same item, current price at qualifying retailers. Exclusions and terms apply. Learn how we'll match price at lowes.com/lowest price guarantee.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
Not all monsters are under the bed. Some are sleeping next to you. Welcome to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring retired FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreeke.
Beyond the people that were brought into the case of Richard Allen, or the lack thereof, because many of them never known, never made any sort of impact on the jury. It's going to be interesting to hear their reactions now that they're out of that position, if they're going to be kind of shocked by everything they weren't informed of. You have other pieces of evidence that never were heard. The Odinism theory, not touched upon at all. And I was saying towards the end of this trial, did we even need to go to Odinism? Because to me on the outside, it felt like the defense didn't do a very good job at all. It felt like the prosecution really pointed out all of the weaknesses. And I thought, well, Odinism really doesn't even need to be in there. It couldn't be. The judge wouldn't allow it. But I guess I was wrong. Maybe they did need the Odinism theory. Do you think the Odinism theory would have helped this case, or would it have pushed the jurors even further to the side going, that's too fantastical, if we didn't have the rest of the context?
I think what could have helped is if you remove the label of Odinism and just put like a cult-like murder, you know, or ritualistic type murder without an inflammatory or weird sounding label on it. You just say that, in other words, give it a reason, a motive for committing this murder was ritualistic, without giving it a particular label of meaning. I think that probably would have had more traction, just because it sounds better to the ear. I think if it's presented more in a pragmatic scientific way, not science of the supernatural or Odinism, but just in a ritualistic kind of cult-like way, because there's tons of cases that there's cult-like ritual murders and things that happened. And I mean, just, I mean, if you look at it, look at Lori Daybell Vallow. That was a wackadoo religious cult-like murder of her children that you didn't give any kind of religious label to. And if we had called that, you know, that it was Odinism, you know, it would have sounded a little weirder. You know, see what I mean? And also, you know, with these other people that had threads, I'll call them little red threads. You know, Richard Allen had one and they pulled on it. And these other potential people, they had these little red threads too. What they should have done is they should have done a deeper dive to see if they can pull that red thread and see if it dives deeper. And if it doesn't, because right now all these people look equal to me. You know, they're all kind of here on the surface. That they went an inch deep instead of a mile deep on anyone. Anyway,
that's a great analogy. No, I mean, I mean, I feel very much the same. I mean, I feel like there's others that are standing out with far more interest than Richard Allen ever was.
Take a look. If they go nowhere, okay, good. Well, then we have less. Then we have less reasonable doubt.
Let's do the job first. Let's go down the line and see what we can find. The sketches, another big part of this case. None of them looked like Richard Allen. But again, the prosecution, Gault specifically, said, no, inadmissible. The jury doesn't need to see the sketches that we all put out and said, this is our man. And he doesn't look a thing like the guy. That might be some reasonable doubt there, that this person that people described doesn't look at all like your suspect. They also said, you know, this is a taller man. Any eyewitness who claims to have seen this man claims he was taller, like upper 5 feet, lower 6 feet. Richard Allen is 5'4". It's a pretty, you know, if someone's, there's a big difference between 5'4 and 5'10 or 5'11. You can kind of mix it up, I think, anywhere in like the upper fives to lower sixes if you're just guessing how tall someone is. If you're in the lower fives, I think most people would guess you're in the lower fives. It's a pretty steep difference there, by like a head. You're not going to, I guess, mix that up. I guess if you've been alive for any amount of time and know the basics of our measuring systems.
Guilt confirmation bias at play.
Yeah.
I really think that's it. And that interview really said it all to me. The transcript of his interrogation that they put out there was just, they saw him as guilty and they went right to an accusation after a few minutes of rapport and trust where he starts disclosing, and they immediately went into accusation from the very get-go.
What's interesting about all the video that they showed him, though, or that they showed the jury, there was ones of Richard not in that delusional state where he's just mumbling and going, I killed them, and then goes and eats, you know, Leviticus. You know, that's what he's been doing. He was eating the Bible. He was eating his own feces. He's running headfirst into a wall. And they're saying, well, see the video? He said he did it here. But where he's coming out of work from CVS and they're talking to him, totally different human being. One has not had a psychotic break. The other has, because they've been in solitary confinement for that long. That's another one that really kind of shocked me. Does the general public, do jurors not understand? I mean, just the impacts of what that kind of torture will do to someone. I mean, even if it's spelled out for you, does the general public literally think, oh, I could stand that. I'm a strong man or I'm a strong woman.
No, you can't. Yeah, so, and I mentioned it in your other show too. I'm reading another one too. I'm reading I can't remember. So it's about Raoul Amundsen. This is the greatest adventurer and greatest explorer of the last couple hundred years. This guy is actually the first one to reach the South Pole. And I mentioned, you know, the voyage of the Jelka. I can't remember saying it. It's a Belgian ship that got trapped in the ice pack down there in Antarctica. And even back then, the science and understanding of what isolation does to the human being is profound. And I've had people say to me too, well, he got 1 hour of sunshine a day. He got to go out. That doesn't do it. It doesn't do it at all. These people were trapped with each other. There's like 14 of them. And they still had two that became insane, and one committed suicide when they returned and one down there. The effect of isolation on us as a species is profound. We are not genetically and biologically coded to be alone. And when you're put in isolation like that, it does horrible things. But that's why we have all these NASA studies for the travel to Mars. And even before we went to the moon, because it's not about, yes, it's about the distance, about the radiation, all these things. It's about the human isolation and what it does to us.
Yeah.
And you have to pick very specific people that can actually handle that. And not many can, if any. And so when you take someone like Richard Allen, who may be right on the precipice because he's self-described as having some psychological issues, he says he's suicidal, where he can function completely fine if all things remain equal. But then when you just teeter him over that edge, like you would anyone in that isolation, all the behaviors, and the psychiatrist or psychologist, I can't remember which was, that the defense brought on that talks about the effects of isolation on the brain, they did a great job there. I don't know why they didn't harp on that more, because it has a severe, profound effect on us and our physiology. Just read any history book, read any explorer book where someone's exploring anywhere in the Arctic, you know, in the North Pole or South Pole from around the 1700 to 1800 time frame, you will see exactly what I'm talking about. And this is just not, it's just us as a species.
Yeah. It's just how we work. It is what it is. You know, I want these families to, you know, have closure. Yeah. I know that's a cliche thing to say. Yes. When you lose your kid, you're never truly going to have closure. But have something that brings some sort of end to this chapter. You know, just a bookend, the families being satisfied in some way, shape, or form, as much as you can after losing your child. I don't know if they are or not. I'm not trying to speak for them. I know, I mean, from the perspective I have, if I was a parent of this one of these kids, I don't think I'd be very happy. I would feel like, well, yeah, we named somebody. But mm-hmm. I don't think I'd feel very confident about this. Do you think the families are satisfied? I mean, I suppose it's easier to you know, want to fit the square peg in the round hole, and maybe they did it here. But I think deep down, you probably know, was this the right peg for the hole?
I don't know. I was on, I had a tail end of listening to someone actually who is friends with the family on another show. And there's a lot of emotion that's going on with everyone on both sides, both the Allen family and the victims' families. And I, you know, it's one of those things I don't know the answer to that. I don't presume the answer to that. The challenge I would think that they're going to have is the fact that there's going to be an appeal. And so the appeal process to me would not allow them to move forward, mm-hmm. you know? So I don't know what they need. It's one of those things, you just don't know what the families need. You know, like with all these other cases, I just want them to be satisfied.
Yeah.
I want justice and I want satisfaction for the victims. And my gut is, I don't think we're there yet on this.
Yeah. One can only hope. You know, what will happen next? It's likely going to go to appeals, and off of the laundry list of things that went wrong in this case, I would be shocked if he does not get an appeal, or at some point. Now, that could take a long time. It might not be the first round. They're like, oh yeah, you're good, depending on who it goes to. But, you know, if Scott Peterson, if the Menendez brothers can get a second look at their case, this thing is screaming with inconsistencies that need a second look. It'll be fascinating.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what's that group coming in for Scott Peterson, the
Innocence Project.
Innocence Project. This is ripe for the Innocence Project. There is no doubt.
Without a doubt. Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
All right, true crime addicts, let's cut the crap. You're knee-deep in the gory details of your favorite podcast when suddenly a commercial hits like a bad meal. Seriously? You deserve better. Upgrade to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, where you can binge without those annoying ads. Plus, get extended interviews that go deeper into the darkness and early access to episodes so you can be the first to know. It's like trading up from fast food to fine dining, but with more blood. So, go ahead, search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and feast on the good stuff.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.